KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and I'll let you make the introductions.
Thank you. I'm very excited for our guest this morning. She is one of the first people that I was able to meet once Joe and I arrived here on the campus and develop a relationship with. Her name is Ro Berunda. She is a student who won the College Entrepreneur of the Year Award at the 2014 Valley Business Awards that were sponsored by the Greater Fresno Chamber of Commerce. She's a former staff photographer editor with the Collegian, and that's the student-operated newspaper, and she owns a photography business called Rotography. Welcome, Ro.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
And we might mention that Ro is also a KFSR on-air host. She has Rotisserie every, technically, Saturday morning from midnight to 3 a.m.,
but we
think of it as Friday night.
Yeah.
And what type of music do you play during your show?
What don't I play, really, right? I play a lot of what I like to call underground hip-hop. I will play what's normally not aired on the radio stations. In addition to that, I like to end the night with some progressive house lounge music to kind of get those people who went to the clubs, went to the bars, and have them go straight to sleep. So that's
I like that lounge. I need to listen to some lounge music on a Saturday night. I'm definitely going to tune in.
Hence the rotisserie. Get it. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, there you go. You're just cooking it up. Cooking up the music.
And you actually started DJing in grade school?
I did. It was eighth grade that I really took a liking to it. A girlfriend of mine, who was a best friend since kindergarten, Anna Ortega, her father used to DJ. And with that, he just, oh my goodness, he would play all the oldies, all the, you know, just good stuff that just made you want to dance. And I was like, I want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And so he would let us play on his turntables, and we started learning and picking it up. And once I went into high school, I was what we called the USB, the United Student Body's DJ.
So did you get your own equipment? You had your own setup?
I had my own equipment. I had everything. Unfortunately, I ended up selling my equipment when I was 17 years old so I can make some money. But I knew that I was always passionate about music. Music always told a story for me, and I related to every bit of it.
And I can see that she was an entrepreneur starting very young.
And that I totally connect with you on the music telling a story. When we did the April Fool's show here, the lineup was all about songs that triggered a special memory and growing up in the Valley or with my parents. If you had
And your show was one of the most popular shows that day. I have to tell you, the feedback was amazing on your show. They were like, I loved it.
I think it surprised some people, but for me, it's fun. And we could have done hours of that, you know.
I'll keep that in mind for next April 1st if we need to fill some hours.
Right.
We'll just give you a whole show. We'll
Anytime
give you like hours.
You need somebody, you're like,
come in.
Somebody's sick, just call me up. I'll race over. So if you had to choose one type of music, what would you say is your favorite kind of music?
That's going to be a tough one for her.
Yeah, I don't know.
We could be here for a while.
Yeah, that is definitely hard. You know, if there was one, I think that, golly.
This is that desert island question.
Yeah.
If you can only take like one CD or one type
of music. Well, music is very emotional. So I think it depends on what you're experiencing at the time. Because, you know, I know I'll turn on a certain type of music to feel a need that I'm having.
Yep. Exactly.
I agree. But you know what? I think it always goes down to, well, one thing I did. So I had this turntable set. It was Neumark 1200 set. And I was so excited. But prior to that, my mom had a vinyl player. And she had her Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. But aside from that, she also had her classics, and she was very big into classical music. What I would do was I would sneak some of her records and I'd put them together with my acapellas of like hip hop and stuff like that. So I'd put them together. So I just loved that mix between classical, jazz. I really can't answer that for you ladies. I just love it all. I mean,
well,
I really
you mentioned
do.
The Saturday Night Live, and I remember it. Well, we're Facebook friends. I have to be have yes. full disclosure. Facebook, Twitter, whatever way that I can communicate with Ro, I do. But my mom was a huge Bee Gees fan.
Loved them.
And I think there was a posting a while back that you put up about Bee Gees. And then I said, well, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. Because my mom, I had the jive tucking and all of that just memorized, you know, all those songs memorized. And when I would pretend I was doing a concert, I'd put my hand over my ear. Oh. Like one of the Gibb brothers, you know.
Very nice.
Yes.
Impressive.
That's how Bee Gees my childhood was. So
I'm glad you turned out as well as you did.
Why, thank you. And I don't even wear polyester white pants. Thank goodness.
There's a snapshot opportunity. Right? No faux talk today, ladies.
I know. Well, Ro, you were born back in January 26, 1986. The end of the month. That's our little guy, Jess. He's the last day of the month in January.
Oh, really?
Baby. And I love January babies. He's so loving. And you're Peruvian American. When did your family immigrate?
My grandmother came out here. I think it was back in the 50s. My grandfather and my grandmother, how they got here was my grandfather was playing professionally soccer out in Peru. And he was picked up by a German team, as well as my grandmother was able to become a nanny out here. And they wanted a different lifestyle for their relatives. And unfortunately, no one wanted to come. So it was just my grandparents that ended up coming. My grandfather was also an engineer and had his PhD out in Peru. Didn't know one thing about English, didn't know the language at all. And
how brave of them.
Very much so.
So my grandmother and her firstborn came out, lived in Colorado while my grandfather played on a German semi-professional team out here to get us out here. And then, yeah, and they made a life happen. None of his degrees, unfortunately, didn't carry over. He didn't know English. He would commute back and forth from, once they moved into Fresno, he would commute from Fresno to Los Banos to do accounting for somebody who lived out there. Didn't have a driver's license, but didn't know how to communicate with the man. And it was then when they really started like saying, hey, you know what, we're gonna make a career, a lifestyle for ourselves. We need to start learning English. And my grandfather went to night school and did it all over again. Did the bachelor's, everything, and God rest his soul. But he passed away about almost 10 years ago now, and from cancer. He had cancer in the lymph nodes, and he taught ESL students in Madera.
Oh, so he turned around and gave back in the same way.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like you had a very close relationship with your grandparents.
Yes. To this day, my grandmother, she's so cute. We call her a little peep, you know, those little marshmallow peeps. She's so cute like that. My grandfather and I were like two peas in a pod. We were just talking about that earlier, how grandparents are so different from when they were parents, right, ladies?
Yes.
And so my grandfather, I was the only one to get my grandfather to say yes. My mother would tap me on the shoulder if they wanted to go. Yeah, if they wanted to go to Monterey, they're like, tell grandpa, because he's saying no to us. And I'd go up to my grandfather and he would say, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So
you had him wrapped around your
finger. I did, but I never took advantage of it either. I always made sure that I spent my weekends with him. I would wake up every morning and go to the little farmers markets out in downtown Fresno. And we would read together. He taught me so much and I loved him tremendously. And like I said, within a heartbeat, he would always be there. So.
Well, it sounds like you were a little light to his life, too. You were a little pride and joy there.
Yeah.
You went to Sunnyside High School and you were involved in a lot of different extracurricular activities. Tell us about some of the things that you did there.
Well, with that, gosh, again, what didn't I do? I was in year-round sports. And I was never the MVP. I was always the most inspirational player. So that's the award I used to get.
I can see that.
I can too. Because
you have such a positive spirit about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I loved just being a part of a team. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of that came down to, again, my family. Although I had this loving relationship with my grandfather, the family always felt detached. And there was a lot of reasons behind that. My mother didn't grow up with, she didn't know what a grandmother was. Oh. She didn't know what being Peruvian was when she was a child. And my dad's family wasn't really in the picture. And so it was just, it was hard to identify being a Peruvian American in Fresno, because we're so populated with Hispanic, Mexican-American, and Mexican families. So we really tried to latch on to something. So there was a lot of disconnect with our family, and it made me want to look for friends. It made me want to see other people's cultures, and I feel like I did do that. With being involved with extracurricular activities like the DJing, rally commissioner, the sports. And I really got to meet a lot of great individuals. And aside from that, I got to meet a lot of families that had that close connection together, which made me learn to love that. So, and want to be a part of that or have that within my family. So.
Well, and I think that you have a natural openness about you. And I think that in possessing that, it makes other people want to connect with you.
Thank you.
And that was something that stood out. You know, the first time that I met you, came to the house. We still had boxes everywhere. It was the first day that we were actually at the university house. And when you came in and you introduced yourself, and you had like the largest camera lens I've ever seen in my life. And you were packing, I think, more than one camera on you. And I thought, wow, she must be really good, or she's invested a lot in this. But then we started talking, and you're just so friendly and so open. It was easy to, and that was one of our first interviews and one of our first experiences with being interviewed. And we had our little guy there. So it was naturally protective of him as a mother, but you made us feel comfortable. And then as our year has went by, every time I'd see you at an event, for me, I felt better being there because you were there. I could see you at the Women's Chamber of Commerce downtown, or I could see you at different receptions or things, and you'd always be in the background, and you always come up and hug me and say hi. And you really made me feel comfortable. And you were a big part, even if you don't realize it, of helping me to understand and to feel comfortable with people asking us questions, with people being around us in that way, because they're documenting things.
Thank
you. And I think that your connection with preserving and telling stories is the way that you are able to make the subject feel comfortable is really going to give you so many more opportunities to capture special moments.
Absolutely. And I thank you for all of that you said. I'm like, whoa. I like to thank my fans. Those made it possible for me. But I totally agree with you. There were some, I like to call them manifestos, that my grandfather and my father had mentioned to me. And one was, my grandfather used to tell me constantly, ever since I was a little girl, he used to say, why did God put you on earth? And not to make this any kind of bit religious or anything, but he would ask that question. And I gave him the same answer ever since I was a little girl, because I'm here to help people.
Uh-huh.
And whether if it's making them feel comfortable, whether if it's not judging them, whether if it's just keeping an open mind on their perspective.
Yes.
And secondly, my father, since I was in third grade, he called them the Burunda rules.
I like that.
Yeah. And he gave me 5 rules, and he would consistently tell me throughout the years. And he said, take things for what they're worth. They're all within the experience. Learn from your mistakes. Never put up with BS, and live life to the fullest. And
that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've memorized it. That's, wait a minute.
Well, she heard them a lot, you know.
Yeah.
She must have heard the list a few times.
Yeah. And my father, you know, he didn't pursue in a higher education. And he says to this day that he was just passed up. in high school because he was a great athlete and in track and field. And so he felt like he never was, like, he has a hard time reading and he's a great man. And he sometimes says, you know what, I never did anything for you kids. You know, like, I'm not smart like your mother. And
but the words of wisdom that you just described, those are invaluable.
Have been carried out all throughout my life. And I thank him 100% because had it not been for him putting me in front of a TV, watching football, watching sports, like, I wouldn't be working for places like USA Today as a sports editor and so forth. So, I mean, I just give him so much thanks. And he doesn't know how much he's contributed to, but he has done so much.
That's and I could not agree with you more about your description of Ro, because anybody who meets Ro immediately recognizes how gracious you are and how sincere you are, and definitely that feeling of family. Honestly, you meet Ro and you feel as if she's family. And every time I see you, you want to talk about somebody you want to just go and hug. It's just like,
I'm hugging her all the time.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. I know, poor Ro.
Stop, you guys are attacking me.
I'm sorry. I know it sounds like Mutual Admiration Society, but anybody who's listening to this show right now, if you had a chance to meet Ro, you would be saying the exact same things that we're saying.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your path to Fresno State. You went to Long Beach for a while to see the world, and then you worked in customer service jobs, which I think those are the best experience you can have to learn about human nature. Depending on what service you're providing or how you're helping people, you'll see them when they're in a need, when they're frustrated, when they're happy. And I think that everybody should work in the service industry one way or another.
I agree.
That's a great growing experience
up, because it also teaches you compassion, which is something that comes to you naturally. But you said that through doing customer service that you truly loved it, you knew that you wanted to come back to Fresno and to finish school. So you started at Fresno City College.
Yes, I did one. Okay, funny story. So I always wanted to go to Los Angeles. My parents always, or my mother, I should say, always wanted to go up north, Monterey, Carmel, San Francisco. She never wanted to go down south. And I was always so fascinated and curious, and Los Angeles is mysterious. Yes. Yeah. And I wanted to apply to schools down there. And she was just like, no, stay in Fresno. And I was like, no, I'm going. So she gave me $50 to apply to colleges. And she said, and you always get two options. You get one and then you get your secondary choice. I applied to CSU Northridge and CSU Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And I was accepted to both of them. Yeah.
Not surprising.
Yeah. But my mother wanted me to put Fresno State. She wanted me to stay here in Fresno. And I said, look, I got accepted. And she was just like, where's Fresno State? And I was like, she's like, I only had $50 to give you. And so to make a long story short, my mother was like, you should stay in Fresno. You're a little too young. Like, we don't want anything to happen to you. But I was always a go-getter. I always wanted to leave. I was very independent. I was just like, oh, this isn't going to happen. So I tried Fresno City College, and which they have a great program. But I really didn't know what I wanted to do at that point. I wanted to be a marine biologist, a dentist, a doctor, a police officer. I had no idea. And I just really just said, I can't do this anymore. And I left a pact with myself. And I said, God forbid anything happens to my grandfather, because we had found out that he had cancer. You know, I'm going to leave. And what I did was, he did pass away. And his last dying words was, he lived in the home and we had hospice, in-house hospice. And that morning he said to my grandmother, his last dying words were, you know, tell Roey that she's going to be okay. That she's going to be safe.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And my grandmother was, you know, she was just kind of like, wait, he didn't tell me he loved me. You
know? Like, what about me?
It was about my granddaughter. And so she told me that. And I had $400 in my pocket and my little cutlass. And I moved out to L.A. And said, I'm going to do it on my own. Like,
wow.
And I did. And I met some amazing people across the way, made some family out there and made life happen. I did customer service. I worked for Best Buy, which was great. And Best Buy was an amazing opportunity. And with my father being in sales and retail, I really learned from how he treated people mm-hmm. in order to give that back to customers that went into Best Buy. And I made $15,000 sales in Long Beach.
Oh my
I made $20,000. Which got me higher and closer to where I wanted to be as a supervisor. Mm. But with that, I was on this 10-year track for college, and it was just, I was taking one or two classes at the City College, mm. and I couldn't afford going to CSU Long Beach or Northridge. And so I ended up going through their city program, and it was just, you know, one class a semester. And I said, you know what, I really, really want to go back to school full time. I know customer service is great, but at the same time, it's just, it's not everlasting. Mm. It's not like in my heart, you know, mm-hmm. I knew I was helping people, but I was helping people with monetary value. And I was just like, it's not going back to that thing with my grandfather. It's not the way I want to help people. So I asked my family, I said, hey, I want to come back. And they're like, of course, you know, you got to do the grunt work, but we'll let you back. We'll always help you. And I came back to Fresno, found a job instantly, and then, you know, decided to go back to a couple like a semester of full time at Fresno City College, and then made my way back into Fresno State.
Great. And when you first started here at Fresno State, what were you studying then?
Well, I was undecided with where I wanted to go. I mm-hmm. thought I wanted to be this amazing painter and artist and mm-hmm. throw paint on the canvas and call it art. And, but I told myself, okay, I need to be realistic, Ro. Like, is that going to make me money? Is that going to help me provide for my family in the future? And I said, you know what? I'm great at customer service, or at least I pride myself on that. Mm-hmm. And I said, what better way than to do public relations, you know, interacting with people, being the face of a company or an agency. And so I decided to get into mass communications and journalism mm-hmm. and decided on double majoring in that and in art with drawing and painting.
And you, while you were a student here, a full-time student, you worked for the George Brown Three. Right?
Yes.
And then you also worked for KFSR with the show that we mentioned earlier. You worked for the Collegian and you did photography on the side. You did it all at once. And I know that if somebody just knows you as a photographer, you're a very hard worker, because I see you pop up at all different types of events and your focus is, you know, you have laser focus on what you're doing. So to have that energy, and I would imagine you, everything you do it with that same level of energy. How do you keep motivated when you're trying to do so many things and do them all well? How do you keep motivated? What inspires you to keep going?
So it has to be my grandfather was a very big part of my motivation. And don't get me wrong, I'm no superwoman, ladies. Like
I don't believe that.
I do try to give my 100% in everything that I do for anyone else. And I think my biggest challenge in life will continue to be that I don't do that enough for myself. I let everything, and that's just me being a helper in life, is that I want to help everyone else, but sometimes I let go of everything that I need to do for myself.
Right.
So sometimes there have been those times when I've struggled in school, but I let my business and others take priority, because that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to steer away from that, but I'm challenged with that every day.
Well, you said that your first experience that let you know that you loved photography, and we're going to take credit for this, Hanford Connection, was at the Fox Theater that you volunteered to photograph a music event. And that's when you decided photography was what you wanted to do. And then you've been very fortunate to have Carrie Edmondson, who's the Fresno State photographer, and he is just an incredibly talented photographer,
amazing,
to be a mentor for you. How did it come about with him, like, taking you under his wing? And you say that he taught you about ethics of photography. How would you describe ethics of photography to someone who doesn't know that?
Well, first off, I didn't even know that there was some type of ethics within mm-hmm. photography. I mean, I one day introduced myself to him. I really wanted to meet him. I would always pass through when I would program my KFSR show. And I just wanted to say my hello. And this was after I photographed the poor man's poison in Hanford. Mm-hmm. And he was just, hey, you know, like, you're going to be working for the Collegian. That's great. You know, like, I used to work there. And
he's such a friendly guy.
Such a great guy.
So great. And then he just went on and told me a little bit about him, how he does wedding photography, mm-hmm. how he worked for USA Today Sports and still continues to work with USA Today as a photographer. And he was just like, all right, you don't want to get people's backs. You always want to get a wide shot and a close-up shot. And so not even knowing that he wanted to mentor me, he mm-hmm. was doing it because he wanted to see a student succeed.
That's
and, great. You know, like there was never no real mentorship program. You have so many hours with this gentleman. Mm-hmm. It was just, I would walk in, we would talk, and I would at least say my hello to him and the graphic designers that were in there. And he would tell me a scenario, show me a picture. I would ask him a question, and it turned into a little session. And I would be in there for hours just sitting with him. So he's just a big part of my success, too. I tell him constantly. I always make sure he's brought up when everybody or anybody ever talks about my success, because he's a part of that.
That's great. So it says that your photographs have been published in Jet Magazine and the Fresno Bee and other local newspapers. You have accounts with USA Today, Palm Wonderful, Spinner's Records, Fresno State, and Fresno Lexus. Tell us about the Hatchery program and how it's helped you to develop photography and to be successful.
That is a set of mentors I never thought that I would ever come into contact with. They have been a huge part of establishing my business, telling me what I'm worth, because mm-hmm. being as what you ladies like to say as friendly and as welcoming, and I want to do things for free mm-hmm. because I want to do it out of the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
And but they were the ones that said no.
Uh-huh.
And they had said, you're not worth that much. You are worth this much. And remember that. And there That's have been, funny. Yeah, they would sit down in my office and they would pep talk me.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, and said, call them. And I would call a client or let them know or send a proposal. And I would be sitting on the edge of my seat just thinking, they're going to say no. They're going to say no. And the next thing you know, I get, you know, these checks in the mail. Mm-hmm. I get these confirmations. We're going to take you. And I've gotten that feedback.
So they helped you to develop your professional confidence.
It was amazing. And I did not know that I could sell myself as bad as that sounds. But I never thought that that would be something I would be doing. I always wanted to do everything for free.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that when you want to help others, you don't want to have your motives questioned. And you feel like if you're getting paid, then people think that's the reason. But when you have a marketable product, which is your beautiful photography,
thank you,
that helps them to sell or highlight something that's important to them, they definitely need to pay you, and they need to pay you well.
Thank you.
So you just recently went through the whole graduation process, yes. And it was the first year that President Castro and I were able to experience it, and it was amazing for me. I know that you had, how many ceremonies did you go through? Because there were a lot of pictures of you and friends.
I went through 3 ceremonies. I really wanted to do the Hispanic one, and I was shooting for it, but by the end of each day, I fell asleep for at least 4 or 5 hours just to like recoup and everything. It was my mass comm ceremony, my art ceremony, arts and humanities, and then the big commencement. I couldn't miss that for the world, and not just for myself and my friends or my family, but like you said, I was really appreciative of meeting yourself and President Castro, and it was not only a big deal for him having his first one, but it was a big deal to me because I felt like I walked with you folks.
You did.
Throughout this whole experience, photographing you folks and so forth.
Well, I'm looking at the clock, and unfortunately, we need to wrap things up.
Well, if I could share Rose's story for hours here. You know, I adore her. She knows, I think by now, how much I respect her. I believe she's one of the most talented young people that I've had an opportunity to meet. I am excited to see what you do in the future, Ro. I love that you are planning on continuing to work in the arts and to become a mentor yourself to other people. And one quote that you had put here when I asked you for your bio, you said, "I have learned, I have listened, and I have leaned on many people." And I think that for a young person to recognize that leaning on people and listening are a great part of learning and growing in your life experience is a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad that you were able to be here, and I'm very glad that I've been able to know you.
Thank you very much, ladies, for everything. I had a great time.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.